I kind of love that you're making me wait. You are the best wife ever! You are the best wife ever!
Oh, I didn't get you the iPad. I got to the store and they were all out. I'm so sorry.
No, no, no. You didn't get there at 6:30. Where were you?
I set the alarm for 5. I got up. I came downstairs. I fell asleep.
No!
Well, there you have it. Intimacy perhaps destroyed by a modern device on Modern Family. Look, most of us are connected almost all of the time. And our online lives have an impact on our real world lives. We all know this to be true. But according to new data from Pew Research, a good percentage of Americans report fighting with their partners specifically over time spent online and on that smartphone. Now, you've been telling us about it.
This is Bridget from Worcester. Sometimes I feel like my husband spends more time holding his iPhone than he does holding my hand, and it's frustrating.
Hey, this is Jerome from Florence, South Carolina, and when it comes to tech, my wife and I are polar opposites, and while she's Facebooking it and checking social media, my interest is in keeping up with work, emails, text messages, and while it's never strained us, it has definitely robbed us of some of our together time.
Okay, so one story of strain there, one story of not strain so much, but maybe a block in between people. Other studies do show that couples who tech together might stay together or at least feel more connected to each other. So it's not all bad. How important is it really to be technologically compatible with your other half? Can a Luddite really live with somebody whose idea of a soft touch is a touchscreen? Ian Kerner is a psychotherapist and an author who specializes in couples counseling, and he joins me now. Ian, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, nice to be here.
You heard some of the complaints from some of our listeners, and I doubt that any of them are unfamiliar to you.
Not at all. I mean, I see so much technology incompatibility as one of the main subjects in therapy. And, you know, listening to the folks calling in, one thing that occurs to me is so often couples are really having what I would call side-by-side conversations. They're not having direct face-to-face conversations because they're also on an iPhone or a gadget. So they're partially sort of vacated. And it's interesting, in couples therapy, sometimes that's the only time they're actually having a real, genuine face-to-face conversation.
Part of the question, of course, is how new that really is. I mean, 20 years ago, you would have had the image of one person sitting on the couch staring at the TV watching the game, the other person wanting conversational intimacy or another kind of intimacy and not getting it. Now, the devices are more mobile. We all know that. And they come with us to places maybe where they shouldn't. But the idea of distraction because of technology, that's not new.
No, although I think the demands for our attention through technology are perhaps much greater than they have been in previous years, whether it's our work lives, which are steadily expanding. People seem to need to always be on, always prepared to work in this sort of global economy. You have major companies like Facebook and Instagram. I mean, they're all making such excessive demands on our attention that I think it's probably more challenging for today's couple to focus on each other and their family life than it was in previous generations.
Now, you mentioned something interesting. It's not so much that the technology is the problem. You said tech compatibility, which means both members of the couple are on board with each other. Listen to John here.
This is John from St. Louis. My girlfriend and I are huge nerds. So when I'm not teaching her to play Minecraft on our laptops, we're curled up together with our Nintendo 3DSs and visiting each other in Animal Crossing. We both love our technology.
So for John and his partner, the technology itself is one of the bridges to intimacy for them. They love it.
Yeah, I think that's great. I see so many forms of technology and compatibility coming into my office, you know, mainly where one person will be an avid user of technology and the other person is, you know, more of an abstainer. I mean, I was just dealing with this recently with a couple. The wife is sort of sublimating a lot of energy into Instagram. I mean, always taking photos of the family, of outings, of vacations and meals. The whole family calls her paparazzi as a nickname because she's always snapping photos of everything. And they had come back, they were in session, and they had a huge fight because they were out on vacation, they were getting ice cream, and the guy, the husband, just wanted to eat his ice cream, and the wife was just like, hold on, let me, I want to get the perfect shot of all three ice creams together and all of us together eating the ice cream, and he just wanted to take a bite of his ice cream, and he couldn't. And finally, you know, he just erupted, you know, and started cursing about just wanting to eat his bleeping ice cream, and, you know, she felt extremely humiliated and embarrassed that this had happened in front of her kids and in front of other people. And I'm really seeing those kinds of conflicts way more where, you know, a member of a family does not necessarily want to be documented. They don't want to be up on Facebook. They don't want their kids up on Facebook.
So there are a lot of people listening now, Ian, who are hearing threads of their own life in this conversation, I'm sure. Not exactly like what you're describing, but they go, oh, yeah, I do have part of this in my life. There's no simple checklist answer, I'm sure, but what are a couple of steps that people can take to get on the same page with their technology so maybe they don't wind up in your office complaining about it?
Yeah, it's funny. I had my own experience in my relationship with social media. My wife was on Facebook for a while, and for a brief moment, I was on Facebook, and then I went off because really, as a therapist, you don't want your patients trying to friend you. It just creates added complexities. But I realized, you know, for a little while with my own wife, like, I didn't really want her to be my friend on Facebook because I didn't want all of that extra information. If anything, I wanted a little less information. I wanted more mystery, more unpredictability. I didn't want to know that, you know, she was posting about being tired and having her third coffee for the day. And so I specifically unfriended her for my brief tenure on Facebook. And, you know, it's something that I do recommend to couples that, you know, there is something about being in a relationship where you want some unknowingness and you want some unpredictability. The other thing I would say to couples is, don't use therapy as your chance to have a face-to-face conversation. Put the devices down. You know, studies have shown that even if there's a device nearby, it can change the texture of a conversation. So we're looking at each other right now eye to eye. Who knows? If I had a phone out here in front of me that was, you know, buzzing or beeping or was on silence mode, I would already be distracted. So try and have those true, genuine face-to-face conversations. The other thing I would say is, you know, I mean, I'm not one for like buzz terms, but maybe you do need to go on some sort of, you know, digital diet or something. When you add up all of the periods of distraction that devices give us, you know, you might have a lot of time at the end of the day that you could put towards your relationship. We live in a culture where, first of all, sex ruts are epidemic. People go to bed too tired to make love. They have no time for each other. And yet they're spending hours a day on social media, on blogs, on Netflix and whatnot. Maybe we really need to figure out, you know, how to sort of turn off that faucet.
Maybe the advice to turn off that faucet, put the device aside, not so surprising. But Ian Kerner says, if you love someone, unfriend them. That's the takeaway from this conversation.
I will stand by that.
Ian Kerner is a psychotherapist and author who specializes in couples counseling. Thank you for helping us understand some of the difficulties with technology and relationships.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.